All right, thank you for that. We are in Psalm chapter 107. Our summer series is in the book of Psalms called the Songs of Life. Of course, the Psalms are a songbook, is a songbook, and these are songs, but they also teach us great truths. Today we're going to look at Psalm chapter 107. Psalm 107 was written right after the redemption of God's people, probably from Babylonian captivity. And Babylonian being exiled from there and being freed, you can imagine there was a lot of rejoicing and reflecting on God. The sad thing is when the Jews were allowed to leave, a lot of the Jews chose to stay in Babylon. They had grown accustomed to the place. Many of them had become prosperous in that place. Imagine they weren't willing to give what they had built over the course of the last 70 years for a long journey back home to a place that was going to need a lot of work. And so they chose not to go back. But they should have went back because that was their God-given home. It was a place where they would be able to worship their God freely, where they could avoid all of the pagan idolatry that no doubt was around them in Babylon, where they could avoid the heathen temptations and have true worship of their God. And this psalm, as most of them are, is a psalm of praise and thanksgiving about that particular thing. But praise and thanksgiving come as a result of having a right relationship with God, being close to Him. We will not praise God, we will not be thankful for Him unless we have that close relationship with Him. Now, when we think about our relationship with God and where it is at, there is only one person we can blame for where it is at. Or, you know, if you feel your relationship with God is not as close as it should be, there's only one person that really, who's really responsible for that, and that's you. That is me. You are as close to God as you choose to be. Now, that God wants us to be close to Him is not even an issue. James 4:8 tells us to draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to us. God is waiting for us to take a step towards Him in a relationship. And if we do, God always responds to that step. But if we don't take the step, then God's not going to. By the way, God's already taken the ultimate step in establishing a relationship with us, and that's when He sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins so that we could be saved. Because once we're saved and our sins are dealt with, we now have free access to have a relationship with Him. And if we don't avail ourselves of that, that is not His fault, but that is our fault. Now, God is encouraging His people to desire that relationship with Him, to hunger for that relationship that He hungers to have with us. So here's the question this afternoon. Do you hunger or desire to have a closer relationship with God? Or are we like those Jews that chose to stay in Babylon because they loved the world of Babylon and what it had to offer? Or they are like, or are we like Demas, who forsook Paul, forsook the Lord because he loved this present world? They were not hungry to have a relationship with Him. Matthew tells us, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 35, and Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." So what's the question? Are we even hungry? Because if we're not hungry for a close relationship with God, if we're not hungry to be with Him in a very dynamic way, then we will not be filled. In our verses this morning, I see six key factors that will determine if we are even hungry. Let me give them to you briefly. First of all, our hunger is a matter of commandment. Now again, giving thanks and praising the Lord is kind of the outline here, and they talk about some of the things they went through, but again, as he gets to it, if they're not hungering for him, they won't do that. So verse 1, it's given in the form of a commandment. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." You see, what we need to understand is a lot of the things we do in our relationship with God or in our life, if we're seeking to live a life that's dedicated to him, they are a matter of commandment. In other words, it's what God commands us to do. Now, of course, our motive in obeying that command should be that we love God. Our motive should be that we want to please him and we're thankful to him for what we do. But let's just back it up. Whether or not we're feeling that on any particular moment, it doesn't matter. God's commanded us to do that. Look, what parent hasn't made their children by commandment eat things they don't want to eat? Children don't regularly choose asparagus, okay? They would rather have honeycombs. They're not going to choose a salad. They would rather have a hamburger. And so as parents, good parents at least, you try to make them eat some things that are good for them, you know? It's like you're not getting up. Look, at my grandparents' house, my mom was a single mom, so she would work, and we'd be at our grandparents' house, and we ate dinner there. And grandfather was old school. I mean, he made old school look old school. And he just sat there, and it's like, you're not getting up from the table unless you ask to be excused. And when you ask to be excused, he looked. Now, there is something that is considered food, but I think it's nothing but a satanic plant. It's called eggplant. I didn't even know you could plant an egg and that it would grow. Didn't know that. And I hated eggplant. And not only did I hate eggplant, I hated the way my grandmother made it. But that didn't care to Grandpa. We called him Dad. He's just like, no, not done. Now, they had an old floor heater they didn't use, and so I flung some of the food down there sometimes. But it was like commandment. You're going to eat. Why? They wanted us to eat the right things. God commands us to do things. What does God want from us? That we hunger to do the right things the right way and the right time. And he gives us a commandment. See, sometimes we do things and we do them kind of because we think we can kind of, buy God off. We give sometimes not out of commandment. We'll give some money because we think, you know, maybe I'll buy God off here. Sometimes we have people that they don't even come to church and they'll still send their tithe in because they want God's blessing on their finances. And I'm thinking, if you believe that, come to church and get God's blessing on everything you're doing, okay? You know, sometimes we serve God because I'm going to do something because I'm trying to earn his favor. We can't do all those things. God wants us to do what we do because we're doing it out of act of worship and love for him. But the fact of the matter is, he commands us to do these things. But if we have a hunger and thirst for him, it's a lot easier to fulfill those commands. Now, let me say this before we move on. You can tell where you are at in your relationship with God by looking at your attitude towards obedience to his commands. Now, I want you to think about that. You can tell how close to God. What do you think about the things that God commands us to do? That tells me a lot about how close you want to be to God. If we're struggling, we will look at God's commands as list. Well, that's just a list. I mean, what do you want me to say? There's the Ten Commandments. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. I mean, God throws it out there. Here's what you do and here's what you don't do. Well, that's legalism. Okay. You're not desiring to be close to God if you see it that way. we're like, I was going to say spiritual Democrats, but I don't want to cause issues here. You know, you just throw stuff against the wall and hope it sticks. You say things just to keep someone from responding. Oh, it's legalism. No, God said it. I don't know what you want. You can call whatever you want, but if God said it, it's irrelevant. He says, do it. By the way, just for your information, legalism is adding works to salvation. Okay? It's not obeying God because he asked us to and we want his blessing on our life. And because we love him. But if that's our way we look at it, then we're struggling in our relationship. If we're not struggling, we look at God's commands as his wisdom for our life so that we avoid pain in life and experience blessing. It's all a matter of how you look at it. Let's look at the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not is not restrictive. Thou shalt is not burdensome. Thou shalt not are things that would hurt us. Thou shalt are things that would help us. That's how you got to see it. But when we're not when we're not hungering for God, we see his commands as something that's not good for us. They're burdensome. I've quoted these verses before, but to be honest with you, I really like them. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 to 3. For this is the love of God. Somebody one time said, I'm going to another church because I just want to hear about the love of Jesus. It's like, I hate Jesus. I guess you should go there. Come on. Okay, well, here's the love of God. Ready? That we keep his commandments. I didn't say it. God did. And his commandments are not grievous. It's all a matter of if we have a hunger for God. It's if we hunger God, we see him in a better light. Verse 4, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We like to quote that verse, but let's plug it in with verse 3. This is the love of God that we keep his commandments. Then we'll overcome the world. And that's the victory even our faith, because it takes faith for us to trust God enough to do what he says, even when sometimes we don't feel like it. So it's a matter of commandment. God wants us to do things. Number 2, it's a matter of desire. Look at verse 4 and 5. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, they fainted in him. Now, Brother Pichardo actually used this thing as a devotion yesterday in the faithfulness rally. But what drives us to God? You know what drives us to God? Desire. Desire means we realize we need him. We have to have him. One of the things that will help you eat regularly is the fact that you're hungry. You know, your body has a way of saying, hey, it's been a while. Time to hit the fridge. Okay, try to put on the feed bag, you know, let's grab the plate. Okay, you don't have to teach little babies, you do not have to teach them when to eat. You bring that little bundle of joy home from the hospital, and it's your first night with that little critter living in your house. And long about 2 in the morning, you hear that blessed sound. You know what that means? I've got an issue on one end or the other. But primarily in the middle of the night, the issue is feed me. I want to eat. They have no problem making it known. That's what desire does. They had he's talking about their long, difficult journey. God wanted, and they needed help. They needed someone to help them in the right direction, someone to take care of them. Now, let me say this. Important. The first two go together. If we don't get it, let's just obey God because he says so. But if 5 years down the line, you're still obeying God because he said so, it's not that that's bad. It ought to switch to desire. It ought to be a desire like, you know, God said that. And I may not understand it, but I love God, and so I'm going to do it because I love God. And it's just the right thing to do. Now, sometimes desire kind of goes like that. That's okay. Still do it because God says. But let's try to do it primarily because we desire to serve him, and we love him, and we're trying to do what he tells us to do. It's a matter of desire. if we only stood that the legitimate needs and desires in our life can only be fulfilled by a loving God. See, when we're not close to God, we'll take something that might be a right desire and we'll fill it in a wrong way. You know? We want security in this life. Instead of attaching that to God, we'll attach it to our job. We'll attach it to this. We'll attach it to that. A matter of desire. Number three, it's a matter of need. Kind of goes with desire. Verse 6. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. You know, when we have a need, it actually pushes us a little bit closer to God. Unless you're not right with him. See, again, that's another way you could tell how close you are to God or how hungry you are. See, some people, they have problems. You know what they're doing? Their problems actually move them away from God. Whereas when you desire that relationship and you're trying to be close to him and you have a problem, now you know, hey, that's why God's here, and God has no problem wanting to take care of that, and it drives you to God. And by the way, God uses those types of things. It tells us in James chapter 1, he brings problems sometimes to drive us to him. God meets our needs if we'll just come to him. By the way, let's not, you know, now some people out there, maybe they may not be Christians or out in the world, and sometimes things happen to them, and it's like, man, I need God. Here they come running. 911 call. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. At least they came to the right place. But look at Jonah. Jonah had to get swallowed by a great fish before he got to that. Man, he should have just stayed close to God in the first place. But needs. God, when we have a need, we will. Who do we think to go to? Jeremiah, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou wantest not. God, which thou knowest not. God says, bring it on. I'm here. I want you to come to me. And James tells us that we have not because we ask not. So if we're the kind of Christian that desires God, we're hungry for him, our needs will drive us to him. Because we understand in the scheme of things that the things that come in our life, God will use them to make us a better Christian or draw us closer to him. And we know all things work together to God, to them that are called according to his purpose. To them who love God and called according to his purpose. Number four, it's a matter of direction. Verse 7. And he led them forth by the right way, that they may go to a city of habitation. Here they are. They had needs. They had desires. And they said, God's, oh, here we go. I'll get you to where you need to be. I'll get you to a place of safety. I'll get you to a place of security. I will get you where you need to be. The result of coming to God in our time of need and hungering for him is that God will lead us down the right path, and we will end up at the right place. Could it be sometimes the reason we don't come to God is because we're afraid of where God will take us? Because we're afraid of where it will lead us? Again, that's where it matter of faith. If I believe God has what's best for me, and if I believe that God loves me and wants what's best for me, and God will give me what's best for me, then why would I be afraid to come to him? There's a satanic misconception that many follow. They believe that if they fully follow God, he will lead them to a place they will not want to be. He will ask them to do something they will not want to do. I don't know of anybody that totally followed God that would come back and say, man, that was the worst decision I ever made. I mean, I just follow God's will, and it's disastrous. Now, I know many people that say, you know, I kind of got off the path here and I kind of struggled. But if we trust him, we'll trust his direction. If not, we'll take our own direction. We have that hunger of security, so instead of following his direction, we try to fill it with money and possessions. We feed the hunger of significance with hobbies, activities, and selfishness. And then we'll even feed that hunger of spirituality, which all of us have, with duty and obligation. That doesn't even sound good when you say it. Duty, obligation. Instead of with joy and thanksgiving. God leads us in the right way only if we follow him. And if we follow him, we will end up at the right destination. I mean, are you really hungry to end up where God wants you to be? Are you? Do you really trust that God loves you and wants what's best for you? Next, this is very simply, it's a matter of choice. Remember the first one, he commanded them to praise the Lord. Look at verse 8, though. This is more said in more of a, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. It's almost like, why don't they do it? I mean, why won't they just understand that God is good and trust him? Why won't they do it? Because it's a choice. We choose. And if we're hungry for God, we're going to choose those things. They're going to fulfill that hunger for God correctly and in the right way. But if not, we're going to choose the wrong things. Like in real life, we all have hunger. We must all eat, but we choose what we eat. We'll either eat fruit and vegetables or Cocoa Puffs and you know, Twinkies. We choose it. Do we want the right? And there's nothing wrong with, you know, Cocoa Puffs and Twinkies, as long as that's not breakfast, lunch, and dinner, okay? You know, you got to mix in some good stuff every now and then. But we make the choice as to who we are. We make the choice as to what we do. You can choose the right thing. Fruit and vegetables, salads, things that are good for you, coffee. Too bad coffee's not a food. Or you could choose to eat wrong things. Too much sugar. McDonald's. Flaming Hot Cheetos. Look, if you're going to eat Flaming Hot Cheetos, you might as well just eat the bag it came in. It is what it is. But we choose. What are you choosing in your life? It's just best to always choose God in everything. It's better to choose being 100% involved in church and than anything else. It's better to choose living for God than living for yourself. I seriously, none of us are perfect in here, but we all struggle, have our struggles, I get that. But I feel sorry for those that have never 100% just with reckless abandon went after God. You're missing out. We're always got to hold on to a percentage and put it in our pocket. Why don't we just do it? I mean, maybe it's harder for some of you that grew up in church. You don't even know what that, some of you don't even know what that is. Just to say, you know what, I'm all in. And I don't understand it because that's not how it worked for me. I got saved as a teenager. And I was 17-year-old, I'm like, I'm in. So I'm like, let's just go for it 100% and chuck everything else. Now, most of you don't have to chuck everything else, but you don't know that joy of saying, I'm just in on what God's doing. I want to be in on this thing. I hope you would do that. It's better to choose obedience to God than following my own path. You are where you are at in life, or you're going to end up where you're going to end up at because of the choices you make. How I said earlier, if you're as close to God as you want to be, you're as obedient to God as you choose to be. You give to God as much as you choose to give. Your life, you live for God as much as you choose to live. What am I saying? Take spiritual responsibility for it. Well, you know, my parents, they're not perfect. Doesn't matter. We're not talking about your parents. We're talking about you. I've just had a rough hoe in life. You don't know what I'm going through. And I know you may be going through some tough things. But you know what? It's your choice. You can still serve God even when things are going tough. Well, I got all this baggage. Well, man, get rid of it. Casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. It's just your choice. Let's quit making excuses and let's just say, you know what? I am the type of Christian I am because I've decided to be this type of Christian. Lastly, it's a matter of acknowledgement. Look at verse 9. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. The only way to be truly satisfied with God in your relationship is to acknowledge where true satisfaction comes from. Only him. That's it. You know, you ever been hungry or thirsty? You're out doing something, and instead of eating the right thing, you drink. Look, when you've been playing basketball, a soda doesn't work. Iced tea doesn't work. But I like his music. Just kidding. It's just, thank you for catching that. That came in like 5 seconds late. It may sound like a good thing. How many of you have ever eaten something you thought, this is going to hit it? And as soon as you ate it, it's like, that did not work. We'll leave it right there. How many of you done that? Yeah. That's what we do with God. And we try to fulfill these things, and we're grabbing this, and it's like it's not working. Hey, why don't we just acknowledge that the only way to true satisfaction in life is our relationship with God? For he satisfieth a longing soul. You say, but I'm not satisfied. Are you longing? And he filleth the hungry soul with goodness. I don't get his goodness. Are you hungering for it? You're only going to get out of Christianity what you want. Sorry. I'll complain for a minute. You know, I wish people would just get it. I'm leaving this church. I'm not being fed. You can't feed somebody that won't eat. And listen, this is just the appetizer. Okay? When someone says that, I haven't heard it in a long time, but I don't know, maybe someone's planning saying it. That's why I'm going to say it. But it's like, I'm not being fed. Well, you know, I know that's because I get up from the pulpit and say, no, don't open your Bible. Don't read that thing. Come on, snap out of it. If we're not being fed, it's because we're not hungry. If we're not being fed, it's because we're not eating. Let's just acknowledge that. God has great things for you. The problem is, if you're not hungry for them, you'll never experience them. Are you hungry? Are you hungry? Are you willing to say, you know what? I'm in on what God wants, and I really want a part of that. Because if you don't desire it, you're spinning your wheels. That's all you're doing. Let's all stand together.